So as you know, we closed on Thursday, as I mentioned this morning, and we've had quite the whirlwind of a time with everything that has happened since, and my wife didn't want to wait till Monday to move in, so we got a trailer, amen? You know how that works. We rented a utility trailer in Harrisburg, and one of those ones where the ramp goes down, and a 6x12, you can walk up it, so those are really good. And so fortunately, we had some help. Dan helped us out, and that was a huge help and blessing. And we had some things that were heavy. And so he got his work out with that, but appreciate the help with that and all the work that went on there with that, with him. And all right, this evening, I want to preach a message on, as you think about it in our culture today, you think about things just change so much. Some of you who are older, you can remember things in the past that, man, the technology, for instance, technology has come so, even since I, believe it or not, I was born 1982, but even since 1982, the technology has just come along so far. You, back then, you had what, record players? You had the records, or was that even pre? I can still relate to records, but you had record players. Then you went to tapes, cassette tapes. Some of you remember even the other things. What are those called? The A-tracks. Yeah, I remember that. And then, then they came later on in life in the 90s, right? Was it 90s? They came along with the CDs. You had CDs. And then technology, you had MP3. A lot of things have gone digital now. And so just over time, not really that long, if you think in the span of your life, compared to even the rest of history, what has come along in technology? The knowledge that has really increased. Now, remember how the Bible talks about that knowledge increasing? How the knowledge has increased over the past 25, 30 years has just been amazing. And technology has changed drastically. New things have been found. Really, sad to say, but even our culture has changed. If you think about it, our culture has changed. Years ago, I remember going to public school. If you'd go into a public school today, I'm not saying public schools back then were perfect, but if you go into public school today, you'd probably be shocked at how far the public school back then, back in the 19, okay, can I say it, 50s? Am I dating somebody, Pete, some of you? I'm gonna get in trouble, aren't I? Yeah, but back in those days, my dad went to public school. Back in those days, yeah, public school wasn't perfect, but there was still some semblance of normal. See, today it is just absolute chaos to a certain degree as far as things that are being taught, what they allow, and which also brings to the next part of the change in today is our morality. Our morality has changed in our culture. We live in a day today where there's no absolutes. There's no right and wrong. Somebody may believe what they want to believe, but we're really lacking in absolutes. Along with that culture change, as you can relate today with that culture change, if you think about it, those that are, can I say it, bending while the national anthem is playing with the flag, what a sad thing that is. They need to remember those that have gone on and fought for our country and died for our country, and those that have given their life, sacrificed, that we might have freedom. Was it your uncle that passed away? Your uncle that you never knew him, did you? Great uncle. Okay, great uncle. Great uncle passed away in World War II, right? World War II, and he saved somebody. He literally gave his life because he went over. He sacrificed his life and went on a bomb for somebody, and so gave his life. But you can't enjoy a Purple Heart too much with that. But so that is the ultimate sacrifice of giving your life. And a lot of people have died for freedom for our country. And so to disrespect the flag, our culture has just gone totally in a different direction. How sad it is. But as you think about that, also with that, along with that, our culture with the, well, maybe we'll get into that later. But along with that, I want to speak this evening of that which shall not change. I want to speak on that which shall not change. A lot of things are changing in this world, ever changing. Some things might change for the better, but a lot of things are changing for the worse, wouldn't you say? So I want to speak tonight on that which shall not change. First of all, can I tell you, And hopefully you can take comfort in that if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Can I tell you this evening, that which shall not change is God. God will not change. In fact, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God never changes. Though our culture may go to ashes, though our morality may be so polluted, though our stands on different issues may be wicked and perverse, we still have a God that never changes. He is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so one of the most important attributes about God is he never changes. He's not going to lie. He's not going to go back on his promises. That ought to be a great comfort to us, those of us that are saved. God never changes. He's not going to go back on his promise of salvation to us that are saved. He will not change. He is something that we can say, you know what? While everything around us seems to be a mess, we can take comfort in the fact that God never changes. First, Jesus never changes. We can also find comfort in the fact of promises of God that will not change. There are promises of God that will not change. If you think about Proverbs chapter 18, 24b, are you in front of a need today? The Bible says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So while you're going through those difficult times in life, perhaps you feel like there's nobody there to comfort you, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He knows your needs. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going through. And though others around you may not always know what you're going through, the difficulties of life, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Not only is he a friend for us today, but he is a friend that died for us on the cross of Calvary. He died for us. What other friend would have died and given their life for you who knew no sin, who was perfect? He died for us on the cross of Calvary. Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Jesus Christ is a friend. He's also a friend of sinners. If you're not saved, if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can today. Jesus is willing to save. Also, if you're sick, if you think about this, if you're sick, if you're in need of a great physician, Matthew 11:5, the Bible says, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." There are those who are not only physically sick, but there's a lot out there today, and you can see it in this culture, can't you, that are spiritually sick. They're spiritually dead, and so they must be born again. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Ye must be born again." People get sick. We have this in this today with sin. We have sickness. We have death. People die. But there's also spiritual death. And so if they do not know the truth, if they've never accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, they must. And Jesus has an answer for that. "Ye must be born again." Eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ. Perhaps today also you're feeling alone. Maybe downhearted, discouraged. 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Understand this. This is a God that never changes. So through all this, he cares for you, he loves you, he's with you if you're sick. Some of the darkest hours, Christian can find comfort in that God cares for you when all hope seems lost, when there's deep trials in your life. Remember that God still cares for you. You may say, "Hey, nobody else cares for me. I don't see that anybody else cares for me." God still cares. Perhaps you're feeling bored with life. Maybe you're feeling depressed. Let me just say this. First of all, if you're feeling depressed, come over to our house for a few hours. You'll lose that depression. you might have insanity, but you lose the depression. John chapter 10, verse 10b says, I am come that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it more abundantly. So, Christian, look to Christ. He is the greatest remedy for depression. Look to Christ. Keep your eyes on the one who saved you. Are you feeling perhaps forsaken or abandoned? Hebrews chapter 13, 5b, the Bible says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me bring it back again. This is a God that shall not change. He's not going to change. He will not change. What he says, he will do. That'll be great comfort for all this. So while friends may fail you, while friends may leave you, and it's happened before where friends have left other friends, supposedly friends, I would question whether they're really true friends if that's the case, but friends, supposed friends, have left other friends, and God never will. Do you need an assurance of a constant, unending love? A constant, unending love. Some have lost spouses that they've been married to for 30, 40, sometimes perhaps 50 years, and that's going to be very difficult. This can be a great passage of comfort in those times. Jeremiah 31, 3, the Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. Everlasting. It does not end. Jesus' love doesn't end. And then there are those that have never been able to experience God's love, never been able to experience the love of God because they have never known God. And so John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you need to know the way, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer to life's problems. Jesus is the answer to life's greatest spiritual matter, and that's your eternal salvation. So if you are not saved, Jesus is the way. And so Christians, we can rest in the fact that God never changes. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. But I also want to look at also, if God never changes, what else does not change? God's word does not change. God never changes, but God's word never changes. Why? Because first of all, it is settled. God's word is settled. It is settled. In fact, Psalm 119:89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. God's word never changes. It is a constant that we can always depend upon no matter what the day, no matter what the hour, no matter what life's circumstances are. If you have a problem, if you have a difficulty in your life, you can go to God's word and find the answer. And so God has all the answers, and his word is settled, it is pure, it is preserved. In fact, Sorensen, in his book entitled God's Perfect Book, he says, listen to what he says. He says, just as the Bible teaches that God inspired the Bible in its totality, in other words, its plenary inspiration, word for word, it likewise foretells that God will preserve his word as a whole, notwithstanding, and this is true, the devil has attacked the word of God down through the centuries. Though Judah and its leadership had so neglected the word of God in the day of Josiah that seemingly the last copy of scripture was found in the dusty halls of the temple. Nevertheless, God preserved his word. The Romans burned Bibles. The Catholics banned Bibles. And the Bolsheviks outlawed the Bible. Yet, the Bible still stands. It's the greatest book ever. It's the miracle book. It is God's book. That's why. God's word. And so while God's word never changes, there have been those who have tried to change God's word. In fact, in Scripture, there has been doubt cast on God's word. And you understand that happened at the very beginning in Genesis, where Satan tried to cast doubt on God's word. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt, what? Surely die. Then Genesis 3:1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. By the way, Satan continues to cast doubt in this world today, doesn't he? He'd love to see churches fall. He'd love to see God's people fail. He'd love to see those that have moral rightness, moral purity, virtues, that which is right. He'd love to see those people fall and those that have pure wickedness to prevail. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Remember what Satan wanted to be. He wanted to be God, didn't he? He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to rule. And it was a sin of pride that got him there. And so we have the twofold process by none other than the master deceiver himself, Satan. And so Satan is a great deceiver. Satan's still not done. He's still trying to pervert God's word. He's still trying to mess it up. In fact, he did a wonderful job by getting the word of God out of the public schools in the United States of America, didn't he? If you think that wasn't satanic, and I'll say what is. By removing the Bible, the word of God, you want to talk about where our culture has gone into the tubes. We have, our morality has gone down. We are teaching an education that is purely wicked, and so man-centered at best. So Jesus, Satan is still not done. He's still trying to pervert God's word, for there are those who say Jesus is not the way, or Jesus is not the only way. Did you get that? Jesus is not the way, or he's not the only way. So you can, oh yeah, you can have your Jesus, but you have to add to him. And so the verse I mentioned previously takes care of that, though. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, not a way. He said, very important, the way, the truth, and the life. It's it, that's it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are those who believe there is no God, or I will say this, they at least claim they do not believe there is a God. You have those atheists out there. Sad to say, some of those atheists have been previously professing Christians that have turned their backs on God. Not necessarily in every case, but in some cases, those are Christians, former professing Christians, I should say, that have turned their back on God and said, you know what, I no longer believe in God. Well, what does the Bible have to say about that? Psalm 53:1, and they ought to know this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Could those be the same type of people that are almost to that point where they deny that there is a God, that when these people stand before God, they haven't gone that far, but the ones that say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done wonderful things in thy name? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. They were never servers of God. They were always servers of themselves. And so you got to wonder if those are ones that are one step away from changing to being what an atheist would be, or a denier of God, because all they were was pleasing themselves on this earth. And so there are also those who are worshiping false gods. And David alludes to this, the psalmist David. In fact, they have statues. You even have that today in cultures today, don't you? There are idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Verse 4, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Wow. Sad, but people worship that which has no power at all. Eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, they have nose, but it cannot smell. These statues. And so, how far man comes when they reject a living and true God. That's why the Bible says man did that which is right in his own eyes. Because if in reality, if they truly were searching God, they would realize, even just in general revelation, they would understand that there truly is a God. There truly is a living God, and this statue certainly wouldn't have that kind of power, that has eyes but cannot see, that has ears but cannot hear, that has a mouth but cannot speak, that has a nose but cannot smell. Certainly this kind of statue could not create this. And so they had denied the very creator of the universe. And so Satan has blinded many. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But there is a key which will unlock their blindness, and that is Jesus Christ. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That's why Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Right? I was talking to a young man at work, and he said he believed in God, but he didn't believe in the Bible. You believed in God, but you didn't believe in the Bible. So he wasn't worshiping the same God I was worshiping. And doesn't matter if you believe in a God. If you don't believe in the right God, you're in trouble. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, you're in trouble. If you don't believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you're in trouble. There's a lot of God worshipers out there, but they're not worshiping the right God. There's other several. I was a man at work, my work, that was several probably that were Buddhist, and their Buddha is certainly a God. Is certainly God, but he's not. He's a false God. And one of the men was backed off, and he wasn't very strong in his religion as being a Buddhist, but he must have been grown up into that. But it's very sad that they would believe in something that is so false. Psalm 138:2, the Bible says, I will worship toward the holy temple, thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast what? Magnified thy word above what? All thy name. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. God's word is forever. It's secure. It's the Norwegian immigrant Harald Lillenes that penned these familiar words. You remember them. You've sung them before. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storm of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal. And they what? And they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands. Though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. What are you planting your feet on, folks, tonight? Are we planting our feet on the Word of God that is for sure, that is settled? Or are we putting it on some politician? Are we putting it on some newscast? Are we putting on something that is going to falter and fail? Or are we going to put our put our foundation on the Word of God that is settled, that will not change? 1 Peter 1:23-25, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We have Matthew 24:35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Luke 21:33, you think it's important? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word is secure. It is forever. That ought to be great comfort to you folks that are saved. So the Bible never changes. The Bible never changes. And listen to this. Because the Bible never changes, you can rest assured that the gospel never changes. The Bible never changes. The gospel will never change. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So here is the gospel. It will not change. In fact, back in Paul's day, he wrote to the Galatians, because the Galatians, there was this false doctrine that was circulating. It was called Judaism, and they were trying to mix works with grace. And so these Judaizers would say that you have to do this and this in order to be saved. And Acts 26:5, the Bible says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Paul knew what being a religious man was all about. In fact, he knew the law. He was a studious student of Gamaliel. But he realized that that was not enough. He realized that it was by grace, by faith through grace, that you're saved. And so he realized that he needed to be saved on the road to Damascus. And this mixing of the law was not part of God's plan. It was all of grace, all of God's grace. And so, without works, and it wasn't, even when the Gentiles came along, it wasn't the Gentiles. Gentiles did not have to submit to being a Jew. And they didn't have to go along with their rituals and their things, because the atonement on the cross of Calvary paid for all that. And the law was done away with. The law was done. Jesus accomplished what no other man could on the cross of Calvary. And he paid for the sin debt of the world. And therefore, he fulfilled the law's demands on the cross. And so no longer was there needed to be the law of the Jews with the circumcision and the different rituals that they had. It was satisfied. And so the gospel never changes. The gospel never changes because God's word never changes. And it's secure. And also, that which is also in the Word of God, can I tell you, as Christians, that you should be greatly encouraged, is the gospel never changes, but those of you who are saved, is because we have the gospel, because Jesus died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, we have the blessed hope that one day, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. However, what also does not change is the sobering reality on the other side of it. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There be those that will not accept Jesus' gift of salvation, and because they have not accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, they are still lost in their sin because they have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Someone has said, and I think at least one person has said, and I think very wisely, is it's not going to be sins that are going to condemn, and this may be put in different wording that they put it, but it's not going to be sins that are going to condemn a person to hell. It's going to be one sin, singular. And that one sin is rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus already atoned for our sins on the cross of Calvary, but the one sin, the one, if you can, I can say it, unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In fact, Romans 20:15, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. This is the second death. These are the ones that have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so praise the Lord. We have God. We have his word. But in that word, we have the gospel and we have the blessed hope as Christians. But what are we doing about it with others? Are we telling them? Are we sharing the good news of what Jesus has done for us in our lives and how that he saved us from certain death? But it doesn't have to be that way for others, does it? People can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and receive Christ. But there will be many, and there has been many, that have rejected Christ. Oh, there have been many that have received Christ as their personal Savior, but so much more, I believe, that have rejected Jesus Christ and not received him as a personal Savior. How sad that is. But let it not be said of us Christians that we did not do part in giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and those around us and sharing the good news of what God has done in our lives. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility, and may God give us boldness to share what is the truth. For we have a God that does not change. We have a word that is settled. We have a gospel that is true, and we have a blessed hope that is sure. Now let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us.